The sermon today is from 1 John 4, verses 1 to 6. The title is Right Doctrine is Essential for Right Living. May I invite my grandfather for the scripture reading?
Good morning. I'm shivering. I'm reading from 1 John chapter 4. Believer, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that has confessed, that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Thank you, Albert, for reading God's word. Wonderful to see you. Is this your first time here? First time reading the word?
Yes.
Yeah, praise God, praise God. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. Once again, it's a joy to be here to worship with you and to see, is it Joshua, is it? Yeah, Joshua, to see my Joshua leading in worship as well. Such a joy to be with Leon and Roline as well, and truly very wonderful pastors that you have. It's my joy to truly be here to worship as well as to encourage you from the word of the Lord. We know that our thoughts truly shape us, shape the way we behave, shape the way we act. You know, my parents, when they were taking care of us as their children, how they take care of us is from what they have learned from their grandparents and from their parents' parents. And so when I was sick, I remember my father will wrap me up with a blanket. You know, wow, yi gong wei tu gong tu, they say. I'm really feverish, I'm so feverish. Wrap me on, make me hotter still, you know. Why? Because they don't know about heat stroke. You know, today, do you think you wrap your children when they're having fever, you wrap them with, maybe my mother, now he's caught up here, he's 90 years old already, maybe I'll wrap her, you know, when she's having a fever. Because she don't know. But to her, this is what the previous generation did, that's why they did. And so even for what we call you know, when you got a burn, you know, got a burn last time when you're younger years, you know, maybe Albert would remember, you know. So when you got a burn, what do? You put butter. You know, in those days, they put butter, they put oil. But today, do you do that? Of course not. You know, of course we don't do that. We rinse with water and things like that. You know, they are sincere in taking care of us. And we are truly very thankful and grateful to them. And thankfully, we survive. We survive our growing up years, you know, and we grow up. But because of their teaching, because of what they learn, they practice out. So even as believers, you know, when we first become a Christian, you know, it's such a joy, you know, such a joy to be a believer. Of course, we have struggles. Of course, we have ups and downs, the difficulties that we face along the way. I came to know the Lord in 1976. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, the best thing, the best decision that I make in my life. You know, of course, the second best is to marry my wife, lah. But for some, we say, maybe not. You know, of course, then another best decision is to having children. You know, we're all very, or having grandchildren. Yeah, so happy. But the best decision is to know the Lord, to believe in Him, to trust in Him. And because as a Christian, we want to obey the Lord, we want to follow after His teaching, follow what He wants us to do, to so that we walk rightly with Him. So what we believe about God, His sovereignty, His dealing with those He loves, determines how we respond to the tests and trials of life, among other things. How do we respond when we're struggling? How do we live when we are doing certain things? How do I react to my bosses or deal with my spouses? So there's so many things about what it means to be a Christian, and then we want to live like a true believer. But this is the difficult part. But because we are human, we are still in the flesh. And because of that, we want easy. Because sometimes the teaching of Jesus can be very difficult. Love your enemies. Well, my neighbor, I just quarreled my neighbor, now I have to love him. It's so difficult. Love my enemies, or love your wife. We just respect my husband. Oh, love. You know, we cannot comprehend why God, He must give all this kind of teaching to me. You know, and we want to find the easy way out. You know, let me just illustrate, just a quick illustration. You know, for example, you know, we all know that we have to walk 10,000 steps a day, right? Minimum. I am very thankful that Albert did that also. Walk 10,000 steps at least a day to keep fit, to keep healthy. But if I promise you, I sell you this one little pill. This pill costs very cheap money, $100. You know, this pill will build your exercise, build your muscle, make it strong. You don't need to walk 10,000 steps. Just take this pill, you know, $100 per day, $100, you'll build a muscle. Take for 6 months. Then you calculate, $100, 1 month, 3,000, 6 months, maybe 10,000, you know, whatever. Okay, I can make that sacrifice. Do you think you will want to do that? Do you think you... Some people, they don't the hard work. They don't the walk the hard work. But of course, we know that it's impossible. We need to do the hard work. We need to walk. We need to exercise. It's part of how God make us who we are. But because it's easy, we want to take the easy way out. You know, for example, you know, one of the difficult teachings is this. Wow, this is very, very difficult, you know, to slap. You know, if someone slap you on the right cheek, what do you do? Turn the other cheek. Is it? Is that why you... well, I think for some of you first time, they really got this kind of verse, man. Okay, turn to your partner. You have a partner. All right. Slap your partner on the right cheek. What would you do? No, don't literally slap. Just try out. Just put your hand on your partner. How can you slap your partner on the right cheek? How can you? Is this the right way? Wrong. This is a wrong picture. How do you slap someone on the... Is he slapping on the right cheek of this person? Use your right hand to slap on the right cheek? No, right. This is slapping what? On his left cheek. But what did the Bible says? Slap him, if someone slap you on your right cheek, you turn to the left. So the question is, what does it mean? You know, because as believers, you know, some drunk person come to you with a stick, you know, you're Christian, come and hit you, hit me. Of course, we don't do that. But if you do a little bit of Bible study, you will know that to the Jewish people, slapping with the back of the hand. So you want to slap someone on the right cheek. You have to slap with the back of your hand. Back of your hand. You cannot slap this way. You have to slap this way with the back. That is the worst possible insult that you can give to a fellow Jews. You know, just like today, you take the sole of your feet and hit people. That's an insult. So to the Jews, that's the worst possible insult. Okay, do a bit of Bible study. Okay, so what I'm saying is that sometimes some of these teachings, you know, can be very difficult, and we try to take the shortcut. And we know that this happened, of course, among the early believers as well. Among the believers, of course, they struggle with a lot of doctrines, they struggle with a lot of issues, they struggle with a lot of things. That's why God, the apostle, keep challenging them, hold on tight, to the truth. Don't be discouraged. So during the first century, false doctrine was already infiltrating the church, and many of the letters in the New Testament were written to address all this error. Paul even exhorted Timothy to guard against those who were peddling heresies and confusing the flock. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understand nothing. Even Peter too encouraged the people, be careful of these false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction from themselves. The evil one wants to destroy. The evil one wants to stumble us. So even the early disciples, they struggle with them. They struggle with false teaching, false doctrines, and even today's passage. Today's passage, we are reminded of that. John, Apostle John, encouraged the people, do not believe every spirit. But what? But test them. Make sure that they are the truth. Make sure they are of God. Because same thing in the days of John. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and pride of life, all these temptations that's around you, that try to bring you away from God, from the truth teaching of God. You become a Christian, you'll be a multi-millionaire. I might. You are not walking everywhere. But you know it's a false doctrine. You're not forsaking at all. Become a Christian. So all this false teaching floating on around, and people, because of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they want all this falsehood. Falsehood. And that's the sad thing. But we know why. We know why. Because all these prophets are people, as someone says, who claim to speak for God, but are actually speaking by demonic influence. Behind every prophet is a spirit, and behind each spirit, either God or the devil. So before we can trust any spirits, we must test them. This is what John Stott said. It is their origin that matters. So when you hear of any false doctrine, any teachings that come, you know, as a Christian, you must really test them. Because behind every false teaching, don't think that it's just this who is saying this, but behind everyone is the work of the demonic spirit. And even during the days of John, there are, what did John say? There are many. Not just one or two, but many. Even today, there are many false prophets, many false teachers trying to stumble us, trying to lead us away from God, trying to destroy us. You know, they aim to destroy lives under the guise of truth religion. So there are many, many teaching, you know, and that's why Paul even used the words, likening them to be fierce wolves. He said, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own self will arise and speaking twisted things. They are distorting the true doctrine to draw away the disciples after them, and then to destroy their life because they are not believing the true God and Savior. That is the danger of false doctrine. Because when we believe a lie, we will live a lie. I mean, when we believe something that we think is true, we live that kind of life and then we'll get stumbled. And sadly, we get affected. You know, for example, the popular teaching that God will give you whatever you desire if you just have enough faith. So this is very current as well. As long as you have faith, you know, you can trust God for everything. You want a Lamborghini? Oh, have faith, have faith, have faith. We laugh at it, but it's truth. Even in sometimes you cannot imagine why people believe in such a thing. But it's, or even easy believism. Okay, come pray to receive Christ. Okay, then you carry on your lifestyle. No change. You gamble. You womanize. You drink. You become alcoholic. There's no change in your life. There's no transformation. Okay, you're still a Christian. No. No. That's a false doctrine. That's a false doctrine. Second Corinthians tells us what? Once become a Christian, new creature, there must be a transformation. We will change. We will change in our conduct. We will change our behavior. If there's no change, then it's conversion. We need to be very careful. You know, because people tell you, it's okay. You know, you no need to change your behavior. Just become a Christian. No, no, no. There must be changes. Changes in our conduct and things like that. False doctrines, false teaching can be very dangerous. In my church, I got a brother. We all know him. He was of another religious order. So he was pursuing this so-called religion. You know, he was pursuing, he really dedicated himself. Even his trip to Thailand was even published in a newspaper. You know, cycling from Singapore all the way to Thailand to be a monk, you know. Wow. Huge newspaper. I won't say huge, like just a small segment, you know, published about him. And he was sharing with us is that, you know, when he was there, the people encouraged him, okay, now they are monk, you're supposed to let go of everything, you know, you're supposed to, you know, don't have any desires and things like that. Why not you sell your HDB house, you know, and sell your HDB house, you know, $400,000 contribute to this religious order. So he's now he say he's so thankful that he did not make that decision. Because after he's seen everything that's happening there, he said, I don't want to be a monk anymore. He came back to Singapore and thankfully he became a Christian. You know, thankfully he got to know the truth and living God. False teaching can destroy. Imagine if he had sold his friend, come back, he got nothing. No place to stay, no place to live. But of course, if we become a Christian, we'll take care of him, you know. But, you know, if he happened to do that, you know, all these destructing things that's happening in the lives of, under the guise of true religion. And so, John went on. How do you recognize it? How do you test? This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. So during the days of John, they have this kind of false teaching that is going on, which we title it as Gnosticism. You know, Gnosticism. So one of the main tenets of this Gnostic heresy was the idea that anything physical was by its very nature evil. Therefore, according to the Gnostics, if Jesus Christ actually come in the flesh, then he must have been tainted by sinful evil flesh. This group suggested that Jesus Christ never literally come in the flesh, but only seems to come in the flesh. That is a heresy. Jesus Christ came fully as a man and fully as God. This is what he truly is. We must acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. We must acknowledge that he is the true living God. We must acknowledge that he is the true deity. Jesus is the name of master humanity. He is a man. And at the same time, Christ is the title of his deity. He's the divine anointed one, the promised Messiah, the Savior, as well as King. There must be acknowledgement that he is truly God. He's not a God, but he is truly God. That's something that we as believers must acknowledge. Because the Bible says, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You have been led by the evil one. You have been led by false teaching, false doctrines. They are under the spirit of the Antichrist. Because behind every false teaching is the spirit of Antichrist. They are really, really against Jesus Christ. You mention the name of Jesus Christ, the evil one will be very upset. They are very angry and upset about him. That's the demonic spirit that manifests themselves under all the guise of true religion. But thankfully, God has allowed us to overcome whatever things is happening. So John assured the believers, he says, you, dear children, that is all of us who are believers also, are from God. Where are we from? We are from God. And what? We have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The Holy Spirit that is in us is greater than the one that is out there. We have the victory. We already have the victory in him as long as we continue to walk the right path, the right direction that Jesus Christ promised in his words. So the power of Christ who lives in the believers is greater than the power that lives in the world. The Holy Spirit living in the Christian is far stronger than any attack by the evil one. We can overcome the powers of darkness and walk with boldness in this life. And that's who we are as believers. We can be very confident, not because of who we are. We can be very confident because of Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us. That's why we can have the confidence. I recall the days when I was in the Air Force. You know, sometimes you have to do guard duty. Some of you may, or those who are army may know. Guard duty is you have to prowl around the perimeter of the fence in the middle of the night, you know. Haunted place, army camp, haunted place. You see, you have to walk around. My colleagues were very fearful. My friends are always very scared. Hey, Joshua, follow me. Okay. You know, for me, I'm very thankful because of God's presence is always with us. Wherever you are, be assured. He's always there. You already have the victory. He has already overcome the world. You have this assurance. So the power of darkness cannot touch us unless we allow him. They cannot touch us. This song is very familiar. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. The powers of evil around you are no match for the power of Jesus that is in each one of you. In verse 5 it says, John reminded the disciples, telling them that those who are followers of these false teachers, they are from the world, and therefore they speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world will listen to them. Masses of people believe in them. When false teachers set aside the unpopular notion that all have sinned, people don't like to say that. I ever share with people, 我们是罪人, wow, they're very angry. Almost a trillion. They deny that. But then you jump in one, you are. You know, we are all sinners. That's a fact. But they don't want to tell people that they are sinners. And tell people that they are wonderful and God exists to help them fulfill their desires. And you will gain a lot of offering, a lot of followers. We see this everywhere around us. So they cannot believe that God can become a man in some religion. They cannot believe God can be a man. Or for some atheists, they cannot believe there's an invisible world beyond this existence. Because for them, it doesn't make sense. That's what the world teaches. But we know better. We know better because we have the truth and living God in us. That's why John concludes by this. John is saying that we are from God. He who knows God, listen to us. John, the apostle, he says he's from God. All the apostles, John, Peter, James, everyone, they are all from God. And those who know God, listen to them. Listen to them. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We, the apostles of God, the one who knows God, listen to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. The one who knows God is synonymous with the one who is from God and the one who is born again. Whereas the godless world listened to the false prophets. They will not listen to godly teachers, the scriptures proving that they have no intimate personal relationship with God. So in closing, I'd like to encourage all of us. So once again, don't take Bible study lightly. Don't take Bible study lightly. Don't take the word of God lightly. Because God, in his goodness, I mean, it's so wonderful that the God that we worship, the God that we honor and love, give us his word for us to follow and obey, to have the best way of life that he wants us to live. We are not often, we are not people that, what is God saying? What is God? I have to consult the prophets. No, all of us has his words. So how can we know the truth? We know the truth by obeying his words, listening to the right doctrine, the right interpretation, the right way, meditating on it. This is how we listen to the apostles. So if you're holding fast to the faithful word, then when the winds of false doctrine, as this person says, false doctrine begin to blow, you'll find that the word will help you fast. I have many challenges in my life as a Christian, setbacks here and there. Some of you, because I spoke a few times in this church before, some of you are aware that my youngest son passed away when he was 18 years old. You know, due to osteosarcoma cancer. It was very devastating. You know, because as pastor, I minister to elderly. I'm not saying that elderly will die of cancer. You know, I'm just saying that, you know, your own son. Why? It's so painful. It's so hurt. It's difficult. But I thank God. I thank God for who he is. He's always there with us. I do not know why, but I know that he loves my son more than I love my son. He loved my son more than I love my son. Similarly for all of us, we lost our loved one due to this, due to that. But we are thankful that they are with the Lord. And this is the hope that we have from his words. It's not from us. God reassured us from his words. You will see your loved one again. You will not be separated from them. There will be eternity. They are in heaven. That's the assurance that we have as a believers. Right doctrine is essential to right living. So be wise how we live our lives. You know, because there's in the social media, YouTube, TikTok, or whatever, there's so many teaching about all kinds of Christian things out there. And so if we are not careful, we will stray and follow after all these doctrines. And seemingly Christian group, seemingly call themselves churches. But we need to be wise. We need to be wise. Be careful. As false teaching about. And secondly, remember, spiritual activity is not necessarily godly activities. You know, you call themselves Christian group. I recall a group that visited my former church. They are from Korea. Wow, Christian! Wow, I want to come to our church to worship and perform. Wow, welcome, welcome. Welcome! You know, sekali, it's a cult group. Cult Christian group, I love it. You know? So, spiritual activity is not necessarily godly activities. We must be discerning, we must listen and evaluate carefully the message and messenger against God's word. Because false teaching may be attractive at first, but in the end, it leads to death. Don't take it lightly. Don't think that, hey, my friend is in this cult group, okay, let him be. As long as there's the name Christian there, let him be. No. It can destroy his life. You know, because today, sometimes in this age of tolerance, we don't want to be discriminating, we don't want to judge, so-called, to be judgmental. But yet our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us, do not be judged by appearance, but judge with the right judgment. We are to judge. we are to discern. You are your brother's keeper. You are your sister's keeper. You are supposed to take care of one another. Prevent us from falling the trap of the evil one. And that's something we are thankful that we can rely on God's Spirit to teach us, to guide us with the truth, and be thankful that we have overcome the world because of Christ in us. The victory that we have.
So continue to study the Bible. Don't take shortcut. Don't be lazy.
You know, to really meditate. God's truth is just wonderful. Lead you step by step, lead you in your growth. And difficult passages of the Bible, study it. Study it. Slap the right, slap one right on the face. You thought, how can the Bible say this kind of thing? So continue to encourage one another and be a blessing to each other. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, even as we bow before you, we are thankful that we belong to you. We are thankful that we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We confess our sin to him. We have seek his forgiveness. We have seek his cleansing. And now we are your children. So, Lord, indeed, we are grateful and thankful to be your child. At the same time, your word reminds us the evil one is always out there to stumble us, to destroy us. So, Lord, continue to watch over us, protect each one of us, and grant us a heartfelt desire to always immerse ourselves in your teaching, in the study of your word, so that we will not be led astray. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.